Pussy, I don't think it's appropriate to point at another member's stomach and say that it's true. It is not my responsibility to comment. Good folks, we just hope we'll get one member so that we can dispense with this. And then I would ask the indulgence of the other presenters to follow. We just have to tackle this and we should be done soon.
Wouldn't it be of great assistance to the committee that we just pack this matter and continue? Then when the member comes, then we resume on this particular item.
It's an idea that we could utilize, so that we have lost one more member now, going to look for the other member. It reminds me of Noah when he sent out that dove to go and look for dry land. When he didn't come back, he realized that there was dry land. With your indulgence, perhaps we should commence the next presentation, and then if I could kindly ask the IEC delegation to kindly remain until we can resolve that technical issue. I would like to welcome the delegation, Film and Publications Board. Once more, I would like to welcome the delegation from the Film and Publication Board. If you could kindly introduce yourself, ma'am, and your delegation. After that, we'll be in your able hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Changing roles. We just want to thank you for this opportunity. Our understanding that we are here to present our 07-08 annual report, which could not be presented formally last year, and that we are also here to present our strategic objectives and budget for the next financial year. We will. My name is Thoko Pumlwana. I'm the chair of the board. It consists of two persons, you will see in our annual report set. And we have the CEO here with us, and we also have Yoliswa Makasi. They are very young, as you are saying, Honorable Member Kosi. we have a very young group, a very young and energetic, and they work long hours. And then we have our acting CFO, Mr. Jonas, on my left, and we have our COO, Ms. Mapuna Makola, and we have Prudence Petri, who is also our shared services senior manager. So those are the people that we have. Chair, just to quickly go through how we hope to do the presentation, I will just quickly go.
May I please interrupt you?
Yes.
After that introduction of your youthful delegation, somebody said young is relative. But that is a matter for another time. We are called as members now. Could I kindly ask one member to express to support the strategic plan and budget, propose and get another member to support, then we are done with that business.
Chair, we support the strategic plan and the what?
Budget.
The budget for, thanks.
Second, good folks.
I'll second, Chair.
Mr. Joe.
Joe Mugliwa.
Thank you very much, sir. Again, to the IEC, good folks, thank you very much. And as I said, it's not the first time and the last time that you see us for this yearly interaction. We will seek to have a more vibrant interaction and invite some of you, if not the entire delegation, but at least to keep the portfolio committee abreast of issues as they develop, so that you can also count on our support. Thank you very much, good folks.
Thank you very much.
So we can continue, ma'am.
The FPP has received a lot of support from the portfolio committee, and we hope to continue to have that relationship. And we just want to give the context of why we think this institution is important, because we believe that the budget that we have still gives us a concern that although we believe this institution is important, the budget that is allocated to us doesn't show that extent of seriousness of this institution. I will not mention some of the things that are already in our annual report, but to just say that the board consists of two persons, myself as the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. His name is Mr. Leslie Sedibe. I tender his apologies because he is employed full-time in the local organizing committee, and at this time they are spending sleepless nights on the Confederation Cup. The audit committee is chaired by Mr. Manya, and our review board is chaired by Professor Govinda. We have a committed team of staff persons, and as I said, they have learned not to keep to their job descriptions because of the size of the of our staff and the immensity of the tasks that they have. The industry that we work with, which is people who make films, video games, who market and who write, and the print industry as well, are cooperative, but as you know, they are an industry that is that has very clear about their rights, and so which may be part of the problem that we don't have our Film and Publications Act signed yet. It took a very, very long time to have the Act signed. That is our major challenge in that the new Act establishes a council, and a council that will make our governance much more productive, in that we'll have more people from the sector and a diversity of views. But until that act is signed, we will limp along as the board as it is now. Secondly, our other challenge is that we have a rather high staff turnover. It's starting to slow down now. Just to give an example, our CEO left us, Ms. Shoki Bolpape, who is reflected in the annual report, and then we have Mr. Chedi, who acted and is now retired. We now have a new, but we have quite a turnover because of the immensity of the job, but also I think people do want to move on. The income from the industry is depleting because of the economic climate. It's important because we depend on the industry for finances as well. But also we have a feeling that the FPB mandate is regarded as a soft issue, and therefore the budget that we get is not, but the industry itself sometimes sees FPB as a nuisance because they want to go on with life, and we come and ask them difficult questions. Just lastly, Chairperson, on my introductory remarks, to say that we hope that we can invite the chair and the committee to FPB sometime. We were saying with the CEO, we'll give you one film to watch, and then we'll give you a film to review, and have, as she calls, an FPB experience, a film to view and classify, and then we'll see how we've classified it, but we really are extending that. But we also enjoyed in the past the participation of portfolio committee members on the raids out there. There are lots of DVDs that are in the streets and in some shopping centers. It has been very affirming to have portfolio committee members rocking up with the police, and then they call us and they say we've arrested, and that makes us feel supported. They would like to continue. And lastly, we hope that we continue to publicize the work of the FPB. Urgent issues for us, Chairperson, is the importance of the signing of the FPB Act. It has not been signed by the President. As you know, there were a number of issues that were there. And we also want to establish an industry task team that will advise. And the last one, which is quite a contextual, is that with the coming of the 2010, we are quite edgy. We have worked with the police, we have worked with the local organizing committee with a view to just asking ourselves how we will ensure that we protect our children, people enjoy films or whatever, but that at the same time the law takes its course. People understand that South Africa has got laws, South Africa protects the children, but people are free to be entertained in the way they want to. Our job is to inform them by classifying. With those introductory remarks, I'll now hand over to our CEO. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the honorable members. I'll just take you through the presentation. Just a refresher really to the legislative mandate of the Film and Publication Board. We are a legal entity that is established in terms of the Film and Publication Act 1996, which has been amended in 2008. And the amendment process has started as early, I think, as 2007. And the legislation is currently, as the chairperson of the board indicated, at the presidency, awaiting the signature of the president so that it can be enacted into law. We basically perform functions and discharge our duties as per the objectives of the Act, which is mainly around regulating the creation, production, possession, broadcasting, and distribution of films, interactive computer games, and certain publications We provide consumer advice to enable adults to make informed viewing, reading, and gaming choices, both for themselves and for children in their care, who are obviously underage. We protect children from exposure to disturbing and harmful materials and from premature exposure to adult experiences. And we make the use of children in pornography, whether it's films or pictures or whatever, a punishable offense according to legislation. I also need to indicate that in terms of legislation, also bestiality is also a punishable offense. Our core activities are mainly classification of films, videos, DVDs, and games for children and adults. Compliance monitoring, which means we've got compliance monitors located in all parts of the country who basically walk into shops. Usually in the past, they mainly focused on video shops, but now videos are sold everywhere. Yesterday, we discovered at Waterfront that Woolies now has a section that has games and DVDs, and some of them we want to ensure that the classification is properly the STD classification. We did a bit of compliance monitoring. And the other core activity is research, because we want to always ensure that we influence the public policy platforms regarding the protection of children, but also secondly that our work is continuously relevant to what we're expected to do. So we get audience participation research going out to gauge the views of the audience around the classification system that we're using and the age rating. Protection of children as well as our core competency, but protection of children with respect mainly to exposure to harmful materials as in pornography. Our vision is to be a credible and visible content classification authority, and our mission really is that we want to maintain relevance to the values and norms, balance the right to freedom of expression with an obligation to protect children, as well as protect children from sexual abuse and exploitation, in particular in content that is in media. We also contribute to prevention of crime through partnering with SARS, etc. in the fight against piracy. Piracy is a main concern of industry. Every time we have meetings with our distributors, they always complain that their business is going down because there's lots of pirated stuff in the streets and elsewhere. We also direct anti-child pornography campaigns while protecting the rights of children. We also are involved in efforts aimed at creating a database for the industry that we are working in. Our key strategic objectives, as drawn from the 5-year strategic plan, really the first one, I'll just go through them briefly, Chairperson, to ensure an enhanced and integrated and constitutionally sound regulatory framework so as to enable informed choices about media content while creating a healthy and child safety media environment. The second one is to develop and maintain organizational capacity and capability to ensure effective management and implementation of the Act. The third one is to enhance leadership and management of FPB, resulting in sound corporate governance and compliance. The fourth one is to ensure the business and work of FPB reflects contemporary norms and values by forming and maintaining national, international partnerships and coordinating initiatives that support business of FPB. Lastly, we want to position FPB as a visible and credible, professionally run organization that regulates media through classification of content. Just in terms of the performance information for the financial year we are reporting on, which is 07-08, I think the highlights really that we want to indicate is that, firstly, this year we're celebrating 10 years of service as an organization, and there were lots of activities and outreach aimed at acknowledging FPB as being a 10-year-old baby. We also have accomplished a majority of issues in our own strategic objective as per the information report I'll go through quickly, and we received an unqualified audit report. Just in terms of operations really houses the core activities or programs of the organization, which is we have four units under operations, which is Child Protection Unit, which is the Research Unit, which is Compliance Monitoring Unit, and the Classification Unit. So basically, this is the heart of the activities of the organizations as captured in the strategic objective number one. Just in terms of classification, we have classified about 7,097 films, publications, and interactive games for the year. In terms of research, we have done research on audience participation to inform our classification guidelines. We explored the FPB classification guidelines and viewing choices of children. We also researched the performance management system for examiners. I think I do need to indicate that as part of the classification process, the legislation allows minister to appoint an advisory panel that handles the recruitment of examiners. Examiners are supposedly people who embrace the values of society, or maybe the positive values or acceptable values of society, people who are from a diverse range, religion, race, gender, and other issues that go with it. So the in terms of the process, the examiners are not necessarily staff members of the FPB, because you must maintain that independence of examiners from the day-to-day work of the FPB, because you don't want FPB management and the board to interfere with the classification decisions. So that process is handled. We do provide support to them. Of course, their budget to pay them for their professional fees is part of the FPB budget, but their appointment process is completely different. It's handled through the ministerial processes. We've collaborated a lot with formed partnerships with the broadcasters, in particular the public broadcaster SABC, and we've also explored relations with other regulatory organizations in the sector, like your ICASA and others. We have received 3 appeals from distributors, really, because sometimes you get films, the examiners will look at the film and maybe they give it an X18, and yet, because X18 is quite upmarket, it basically means the video, the content must go to an adult shop. Now, the distributors may feel that they don't necessarily, we are limiting the market, and they may want to appeal. The chairperson spoke about earlier about the review board. So we've received about 3 orders in the reporting year, and the FPB decisions were upheld by the review board in all the 3 cases. In terms of the, I'm just going to go through the statistics classification broadly, really, just to look at the different age ratings. If you look at the first bar, there's the age ratings there. You've got the bold green and the light green, and it basically indicates the differences between the 2006 and 2007 financial year. The first bar, if you look at it, the bold green is quite high, which basically shows that we had more submissions in 2006-07. We have more films that were classified as A in 2006-2007, which basically means all ages, content that is suitable for all ages. But if you look in 2007-08, this has dropped. And interestingly, if you look at the last bar, the one just before the last, X18, the other one that's also quite high there in the chart, that's the X18. That's mainly the content that only gets distributed by adult shops. It can't be on the streets. It can't be anywhere. You have to walk physically into an adult shop, which is accredited by the municipality, which is registered as a distributor by FPB, and you have to be of age above 18 in order to access the adult shop. So it's basically your decision to get into the shop, because maybe you want entertainment, you get in to go and hire that film, or you buy that product that you're buying. In terms of the ratings, if you look in terms of the 2006-07 financial year and 2007-08, you'll see that there's lots of adult stuff, basically pornographic material, that our examiners have to deal with and classify. Again, if you look at this slide looks at the classification stats for the games. Again, the bold black is 2006-07, the light blue is 2007-08. We've seen an increase in terms of games that we are classifying as an organization, and you can see the bold one, especially for the age 13, it's quite high in 2006-07, but it's going down. And interestingly, the 18 is quite picking up as well. for the 2007-08. It would be interesting when you bring the 08-09 report to also do a comparison for the members, so that you can already see what kind of content is out there in the streets or in the shops and etc. There is much more lineage towards adult content. I think we can say that, and I don't know if it says anything about the values of society or what role is media playing to engage society, but that's an analysis you could probably do at the level of the FPB and engage with the board member, with the committee. Those are the publication statistics. XX, if you see here, there's two bars, X18 and XX. XX is content that is not allowed at all for distribution. It's banned. It's what people used to call censorship, but we are not a censorship board, we're a classification authority. But according to legislation, this would be child pornography, where children are used in developing the content. And also bestiality. Bestiality is mainly the use of animals in sexual engagement with human beings. So this is completely not allowed, and it's not distributed anywhere. We either refuse classification or we indicate that it's censored. Just on the Child Protection Unit, which is the second main core component we're reporting on, this unit was established in the 2007-08 financial year. In fact, it was established in July 2008. There was an indaba that was held where there were inputs from a number of stakeholders. But I need to say that in this financial year, mainly the FPB was working around intensifying stakeholder relations, in particular with law enforcement agencies, with industry players and the NGOs. A lot of work had to be done with industry just to convince them why it's important to have child protection as part of the core components of the work that is done by the FPB. We have internet content analysts which are appointed in this financial year. The work of the internet content analyst is to basically sit on computers and cell phones throughout the day to trace whatever material that gets reported through our hotline. Trace it. A member of the committee may phone and say, I was working on the internet and I bumped into this website which has images that are undesirable for kids. So we get that information, we immediately trace the website. If it's hosted in South Africa, then we'll speak with the internet service provider and we'll also communicate with the police if really the information in that website is pornographic material. We also supported advice and training provided for our police and prosecutors. We could provide a database of the training that we have done for the police in particular and prosecutors to the committee if it wishes so. We have intensified committee outreach programs. At the level of research, we've looked at the impact, incidents and impact of sexual abuse of children through ICT. Again, I think that we need just to say, Chair, we were not sure what kind of research results to package for the committee, but I think we would like at some stage to have an engagement with the committee just to take it through. We've got about three or four core research that we have done, which would be useful for the understanding of the committee, as would rely on committee members to further take our messages elsewhere. Approximately 3,000 calls received via the FPB and the Child Pornography Hotline. 3 cases were referred to the police. What we experience is that you get lots of calls, but some of them are not necessarily child pornography-related issues, but we refer them to the relevant agencies and we deal specifically with those that are child pornography-related. And you can't tell members of the public not to call about other issues, but we have a system to process those issues. Then in terms of compliance monitoring, we've increased our compliance monitoring activities. There's been joint raids with police, confiscation of over 60,000 illegal materials. Partnerships were formed with SALCA to improve compliance of adult shops. We've also picked up that there's a lot of work we need to do with local government, because sometimes they just approve a registration of an adult shop, and yet it must not be next to a school, next to a church, next to Parliament as well. Okay, it must not be next to Parliament. I'm reminded. There was an issue in the previous portfolio committee where there was an adult shop just opened next to Parliament. I think it closed. There's been increased registrations by major retailers, and we've noticed low levels of compliance by ISPs, that's internet service providers, as well as the Nollywood distributors. We have a specific program that looks at the Nollywood distributors now and the Bollywood. Nollywood is mainly Nigerian movies, African magic. Bollywood is mainly the movies of Indian origin. There's been lots of compliance because they do their movies like daily. The production lines are quite quick, and So we have to put in place special processes for them so that we ensure they comply. We've done research as well regarding compliance monitoring as indicated there. In terms of our own support units in the organization, we've consolidated lots of policies and procedures. We have built a specific focus on risk management, and I must say that this is mainly due to really interventions that were done at the level of the audit committee, which I think is an organization we are grateful for. We are expected by the audit committee not only to report on financials, but also to report on performance of the organization, as well as risk management in the organization. The organization has done a huge organizational review, which resulted in a new structure or in an enhanced structure. And there's been implementation of business systems and processes. The ICT infrastructure has been updated. Lots of partnerships were formed with non-governmental entities that work in the children's space, academic institutions that are assisting us with our research, because we believe that we need to have credible research institutions that we work with. And we continuously develop the FPB brand, and we have a communication strategy. In terms of some of the challenges, I mean, the board chair has spoken a lot about the challenges, but I just want to say that technological innovation is an ongoing challenge for us. It makes it difficult to monitor, especially the internet and mobile platforms. Everybody has a cell phone, but you can't say, show me your cell phone, what's on your cell phone. So we rely on working with the back-end providers of information into your cell phones and internet, which is mainly your internet service providers and other platforms. But it's proving to be quite difficult to monitor, especially also considering that the FPB Act is only a South African Act, where South Africa regulates what's happening in South Africa, basically. But with internet, you've got lots of international sites that people have access to that you cannot regulate, like YouTube, like Twitter, like all these platforms where young people and children in particular are, but you can't register. You can't really interact with them. I'm not sure, Chair, whether there are any members of the portfolio committee who are on Facebook or on Twitter or on Mixit, but it would be good to have a few who go undercover and just, you know, try to understand what's happening there, because you can pick up a lot of issues that's happening there. We have presence as the organization on Facebook, but we are still trying. Don't give your name and your portfolio. And then the other issue is really about the funding. The chairperson has spoken about the funding. The allocation from National Treasury is certainly not sufficient. We do, though, also are looking at more revenue efforts to expand our revenue base. Industry is down now, so we can't do much. But if you look at the proliferation of sex boys in the country, sex boys, the film festivals that are going on in all the countries. And what we've also picked up is that if you go to any shopping mall, there's always games arcades, but those games in the arcades are not classified, because those are not electronic based games, but I don't know, physical games kind of thing. So we're still devising a strategy of working with the game, with the owners of those games arcades, to ensure that we do classify those games, because also it's content that children are bumping into in the shopping centers. Our internal systems and processes are continuously being improved to ensure that we run an efficient organization. One of the things that has been raised sharply by industry, we've had our meeting with the distributors, people who are basically selling the films and video. We've had our meeting with them in February, and they are raising a number of valid issues, but one of them is the tariff structure. They are complaining about the tariff structure that we're using as the FPB, and we have committed through the board and the ministry that we are doing some research into a tariff structure that is responsive, because what you have in industry is big players like your NU Metro, Stekineko, and others, and you have very, very small players like your men on the who goes into the internet and just get dividends from the internet, and they want to sell them, and they don't want to be bound into any contracts by any metro or whatever. So there's issues there around importing, around the tariff structure, around piracy and the distribution rights. For instance, the big industry players have come to the FPB to say, before you classify a movie, can you please confirm the distribution rights, who owns that movie, and whether the person submitting the movie has the right to distribute that movie. But it is difficult from our part to do that because it's not a specific mandate issue. But secondly, if you were to do that, you would kill the small business people because all the rights are taken by the big players in the industry itself. But we've made a recommendation to the board that perhaps the minister should think about forming an industry group that's going to advise her or, you know, meet with her regularly on these issues. That also includes the participation of DTI because it is a major issue in industry. And I do think that lastly, Chair, before I hand over to the CFO who will take you over the financial issues, is really just to thank this opportunity from my side and to echo what the chairperson has said, that we would really invite members of the committee to experience the FPB by participating in the classification process as well as in our stakeholder and outreach initiatives, which we will share when the time is right.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Jonas Koshogo. I'm the acting CFO of Film and Publication Board. I'll be taking you through the financial overview of Film and Publication Board. Film and Publication Board is being funded by three modules. We received a grant from Department of Home Affairs. We raised money through classification fees of movies. We also raise money through registration of new movie distributors, and also we get a subsidy grant for the rent from the Department of Public Works. In the 2007-2008 financial year, Film and Publication Board recorded a surplus of 2.4 million. The income that we actually got, we got a grant from the Department of Home Affairs of $19.2, which was lower as compared to the previous financial year, and then we also got regulation fees of 12 million, of which 2.3 was received from registration fees and 9.7 was received from the classification of movies. We also received a subsidy grant for the rent of 553 from the Department of Public Works. In terms of the operating expenses, Film Publication Board operating expenses has increased as the grant and also the replication fees are increasing. The staff costs also increased due to the expansion of and the introduction of the new structure, which created positions which most of them were filled. Others were filled in the current financial. But also, there's a book also to the changes. In terms of the operating expenses, the operating expenses for the current financial year onward was 34 million compared to 32 million in the previous year. Our operating expenses are mainly classified as follows. If you can check in the annual report, the schedule of all the operating expenses. It's on page 90. That is a list of all the FPB expenses. We have office rental, office was 1 million, that was for the head office. Office rental also for the Cape Town office. There were advertisements mainly for the new positions that were filled that we needed to make advertisement for. Others are the bank charges. I'll only concentrate on the bigger margin expense items. We also have travel and accommodation. That may include the travel of the monitors to go around all the country for checking compliance with the Film and Publication Act, going all over the country, moving to others, and also their petrol and subsistence allowances. Also have public relations in the past year we spent 2.1. That was mainly awareness, promoting awareness of FPB. The Film and Publication Board balance sheet here referred to as a statement of financial position. We have total assets of 6.4 as compared to the previous financial year we had total assets of 3.2. Our current assets are made up of debtors and also the amount of cash that we have in the bank. Our debtors as at year-end 2008 is to just 2 million, and then our cash equivalent is to just 5.4. In terms of Film Publication Board liabilities, we had liabilities of current liabilities of 5.7 and the non-current liabilities of 5.8, and then the reserve that we had the reserve of 8.1. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, good folks. Any further additions?
Want us to present on the 09-10 plan and budget, or you first want to deal, because this was 07-08 report. So now we can, if you allow, we can present our plans for 09-10, including the budget, because some of the questions you may have about other issues may probably already be addressed. But
are there any comments and questions, members, on
I would like to suggest that we interrogate the report first.
You may comment.
Can you start with me, Chair?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Chairperson, I'm a bit concerned about top management resigning in the organization and even the CEO. It is a danger, is it, for me, and one needs to investigate as to whether who is to be blamed or at fault, or was there any intervention by this committee as far as the resignation is concerned. I would like to pose a question as to whether the CEO who resigned, as well as some of the top management, was there any exit interviews with them. In the Auditor General's report, it wasn't also clear if there was whether there were some targets set with target dates by the board. It also raises a concern for me. And when one needs to have a performance evaluation, it goes along with target dates, and it's imperative for the board to reconsider, investigate, or reconcile as far as this omission is concerned. In terms of the section 53.1 of the PFMA, I would like to say, Chairperson, that we must take the PFMA very seriously. There was also a breach or contravention by the board in terms of their submission after 2 months as the requirements by the PFMA. I'm also inquisitive to hear what the reason or specific regard to that was. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Michael.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, the CEO spoke at length about compliance, monitoring, but he did not really go into the details. So I just want to know as to what mechanisms have they really put in place to make sure that there is proper compliance from key industry players like cinemas in remote rural areas. Because certainly they cannot only rely on municipalities, which they will only regulate the licensing part of it. But as to what is going on right in the cinemas is usually none of their business. So can she really give us the details as to what mechanism are they really trying to put on there or it's in place to make sure that there's proper compliance? Thank you, sir. Thank you, members. For now, can we have responses to the comments and questions, please?
Chairperson, I'm just going to respond to the one on the resignation of the CEO because you can't answer this one. Just to say that I think we should accept that in an organization of this size, the people do want to grow, and the industry has got very few. We have a human capital shortage in the country, especially in the sectors like this. And so there's a lot of fluidity. Efforts were made to try to keep the CEO, but the offer she got, she just could not refuse in the industry. So they almost doubled what she was earning. There was no way we could match. We tried with Treasury, they could go far. We had letters to Treasury to beg to up the salary, but they just could not because they look at the size of the budget that you handle, and then they'll say, we kept at this point, we can't give you any more money. So that was real. So what we have in place now is a system. We have tried to change our organogram such that we have a level of management, so that even if the CEO leaves, the knowledge is shared amongst senior managers so that there's no gap when the person leaves the organization. But I think in reality, it's very difficult to keep people in an industry where they are scarce skills. I think I'll leave the rest to the CEO to answer unless there's something.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to invite my colleagues who have better institutional memory to look at the submission after 2 months, the comments from the auditors, and respond to that because yes, that's the 2 months, the submission after 2 months of the report to the auditors. But just on the issue of the lack of clear targets, we've picked up the issue. So what we're doing now, we are revisiting our plan and to a very clear target when we start the financial year, so that when we do the annual reports at the end and the quarterly reports, we can then report against those specific quantifiable targets. So we've picked up the issue and we're building it into our plan for the incoming financial year. The other issue on the compliance monitoring mechanism, what we have, and maybe the CEO can speak in detail about that if further detail is required, what we basically have is a system where we have compliance monitors that are located in provinces, depending on the size. Well, the size doesn't really matter much, but on the economic activity of that province in relation to industry. For instance, in a province like Gauteng, we have about 4 monitors. Some of them have resigned. We have some vacancies there. In a province where there is no much film industry activity like Limpopo, you have one monitor, but in all provinces we have present. So what the monitors do, they develop a plan over a 3-month period in terms of our own performance target, they have to undertake a certain number of raids with the police. They have to undertake a certain number of visits, and they have visitation books that get signed by the people that they are visiting. I can tell you, for instance, that in the Eastern Cape, I'm just making an example of how rural we go. We've been to Bizana, and we were shocked at some of the material that you just get in a corner shop in Bizana, where under the counter, when you go under the counter, you discover all kinds of materials that have nothing to do with coffee and bread, which is being sold in a corner shop. So we do try very hard to get into all the parts of the country. We also try very hard to get into the streets, because we also get lots of people who phone the toll line and say, if you go in Bellevue and stand, you'll find this kind of material, then we follow those things. But I guess it will never be sufficient, because you need as many people as possible to be everywhere all the time. But I don't know if CEO, you have said that.
Thing that we have asked the staff to do as well as the board, to say that we accept that our own people can't do this alone. So we're trying to establish a relationship with NGOs, because we're saying the NGOs that deal with children, and they have an obligation to advise us. So they should also almost play the role of FPB by alerting us to places that need to be visited by the police. So it's another parallel structure that we're trying to
An additional measure that we've also put in place is to educate cinema staff, because what we found is that most of them don't even know what regulations apply. When a parent comes to buy a ticket and they just buy for their children who are underage, cinema staff are not in a position to know that, in fact, this is not supposed to happen. So we've embarked on a program where we are training them on all the regulations of FPB with regards to who can view what material, and we obviously rely on them to monitor, because we don't have capacity to be at all cinemas all the time. So we are educating them, and the system is beginning to bear fruit as well. We are also educating members of the public, so that parents can know that it is harmful to their children if they allow them to watch movies that they are not supposed to watch.
Thank you, ma'am.
In terms of the budget submission, there were actually two submissions which were made. The initial submission was made in time, and it was discovered that it was faulty, so we have to do a resubmission. And come the audit, we only had a copy of the resubmission. We failed to get a copy of the initial submission.
Members, or you still needed to say something? Oh, okay. Any further comment, questions, so we can move on to the next leg of the presentation? Thank you, good folks.
Okay, the strategic plan for the 09-10 is being, I think you members must have copies, it's Excel copies and PowerPoint as well. So maybe you can focus on your Excel sheet, because that's mostly where I'll be talking to. The CEO has already taken a member of the committee through the vision and the mission of the organization and the various strategic objectives. The main issues that we are aiming to focus on in this year is the implementation of the amendments to the Act, if passed. The delays in the passing of the Act is really, really hampering delivery on our side. There's a lot of issues that we are not able to do because we are relying on the Act. So these are being carried from year to year into the strategic plans for each year. And we are really hoping that in this year they will be passed. And if passed, we will embark on a huge communication campaign with various stakeholders just to familiarize them with the changes in the legislation and how it impacts them. We will be reviewing our systems and aligning our systems and processes with changes in the legislation as well. We are hoping to get our monitors to also be appointed as peace officers, because at the moment we've got limitations. They don't have search and seizure powers, so when they walk into a video shop, all they can do is check that, are you complying or aren't you complying, but they don't have the powers to do anything. They have to rely on the police. So we are really hoping that we can get them appointed as peace officers to give them some teeth when they do their compliance monitoring activities. The CEO has already spoken about issues of piracy, issues of distribution rights and tariffs. We are hoping to develop a labeling system for the year under review. This system will ensure that there is a uniform display of the FCB logo, because at the moment, if you go, if you are a member of the public and you go into a video store, you don't know if this is a genuine FCB logo or not. So we are hoping to design a system where FCB will provide all the labels for all the classified material to avoid confusion for the public, which will also help us in ensuring that children are not unnecessarily exposed to harmful material, because what happens is that people just copy the FCB logo and put whatever age rating that they have. It makes our job, our compliance monitoring job, very difficult as well, because our monitors have to sort of liaise with the office to ensure that the number that appears there is actually the number that has been put by the FPB. So we are really hoping to embark on the development of this system to deal with all those issues. It will also help us to address the tariff challenges, because at the moment some people, some distributors would say to us, we are in a niche market, we are going to only distribute 100 copies of these, and it's very difficult for us to verify that these are the actual numbers that will be verified. So the labeling system will hopefully deal with all those challenges around tariffs and around protection of children from exposure to a harmful material. The program of action on child pornography, I think you must have received a copy. It is a program of action that was developed last year when we held an Indaba. It was developed along with the industry and various other important stakeholders. I think some of the members of this committee did actually attend the Indaba that was held. And out of that, an outcome of that Indaba was the development of a program of action, which we've been rolling out for the past year, and we are really beginning to see a major improvements in how we are handling the problem of child pornography in the country. We have we embarked on a major awareness program in the schools, where we had roadshows throughout the schools, where we reached about 40,000 children. So in the year under review, we are hoping to change our focus, because obviously having people traveling to various schools is also very expensive, and we don't have we have limited financial resources. So we are hoping to penetrate the rural areas through the traditional leaders, religious institutions, and we are also looking to engage with the moral regeneration movement. We are not completely abandoning our schools program, but we are working with a life orientation educators in each and every school. We've identified about 1,000 schools where we'll deal with life orientation teachers to ensure that children are educated on the problem of child pornography. The CEO has already alluded to the fact that this will be a major problem come the 2010 Soccer World Cup, because a lot of tourists will flock to our country, and some of them may be people who are looking to abuse children. Schools will be closed during that period, so children will be roaming around and will be open for abuse. So we are really hoping to embark on a serious education program this year to supplement what we did last year, and we'll do that through life orientation teachers and the school principals. We also are engaging with the workplace. We completed a research in the 08-09 financial year, where we explored the level of accessing of child pornography in the workplace, and we found that it is really quite high. And we are hoping to engage HR practitioners as well, in the current year to ensure that the workplace, people in the workplace are educated about issues of child pornography. The SRCs and LRCs are also another group of people which we will be focusing on a trainer program to ensure that the schools are capacitated to educate children and to deal with the problem of child pornography, which is currently very rife in our schools. We are hoping to also lobby for inclusion of child pornography education in the Department of Education curriculum so that children can get this information very early on and ensure that they are adequately protected. Our website, we launched an internet hotline last year where members of the public can report incidents of child pornography. And that website is up and running, and we are hoping to revamp it in this year to ensure that we can drive more people to access it and ensure that more reports. Last year, we received only 48 reports, but when we benchmarked with other similar organizations internationally, we discovered that, in fact, those are the trends internationally. That's the level of access, because we don't actively go into the internet to check for child pornography. We wait for members of the public to report to us and only then take action. We will also enhance our participation in the mobile space. The CEO has already spoken about our Facebook group, which I'm hoping members will also visit at some point and get more information about the work of the FPP. But we'll also expand into Twitter and Mixit and any other platforms that are used by young children so that we can access and reach them where they spend most of their time. We've developed also an industrial theater program, which is a play on child pornography, which we have been using throughout the schools to educate children, and we are hoping to change this into a DVD, which can then be distributed to various schools, even here at Parliament as well, to industry stakeholders and NGOs, so that there's information that is readily available to be used to educate people around the issues of child pornography. In terms of education of 2010 cents, we feel that most of the tourists who come to our country are not necessarily aware of our legislation around issues of child pornography. They are, obviously the legislation differs with some of the countries. In some of the countries, the age is 16, and in our country is 18. So we want to educate them. We are going to develop an in-flight video that will also educate tourists as they come into the country to know what the child pornography legislation is in the country. We are working on training workshops with the tourism industry and host cities, training workshops with embassies to ensure that all visitors for the 2010 World Cup are adequately educated on issues of child pornography before they come into the country so that they don't abuse our children. We engaged with the LOC last year on their child protection plans around the 2010 Soccer World Cup, and we discovered that there was no child protection plan that has been developed. So we are working on that, and we will be engaging with them further on that plan to ensure that it's implemented in 2010. We've recently just become a member of InHope, which is an international body of internet hotlines fighting illegal content, and I think it's got about 32 countries worldwide. So South Africa has become the first African country to become a member of that organization. How that relationship is going to benefit us is that we will be able to use internationally benchmarked processes and procedures on dealing with issues of child pornography, and in this year we are hoping to leverage a lot on that relationship and work very hard and hand in hand with other countries to fight child pornography. We have developed an MOU with industry, internet service providers and other key stakeholders, and we are hoping that that draft MOU will be finalized in this year and signed off. We are also looking to engage SADC on issues of child pornography. As I've already mentioned, we are the first African country to join the global body of internet hotlines. So we are hoping to continue to be the leader and engage with SADC countries on issues of child pornography, to see what they've got in their own countries. How can we protect the African child? Because at the moment there are no statistics that are available on African children that are involved in that are abused and exploited in child pornography. So we want to engage with the rest of the SADC countries and see what efforts can be formed within our continent to fight child pornography. The training of law enforcement officers, I've already spoken about the training that we've been doing with cinemas. We also trained police, prosecutors, social workers, and all other law enforcement agencies on issues of child pornography. We are continuing to do that in this year, and we want to formalize that training program and have it accredited and enhanced and we want to continue to roll it out to various other key stakeholders in the country. We are currently a member of the KZN task team on child pornography and child trafficking and child prostitution, crimes which are expected to increase as a result of the 2010 World Cup. So we are working hand in hand with that task team, and we are hoping to continue doing that activity in this year. The ministerial task team on child pornography, also their activities are continuing in this year as well. So that's the program of action on child pornography that we'll be embarking on. In terms of the other goals for the year within the organization, we are looking to review and update our organizational and processes and systems. We will revamp our HR processes and systems. We've really experienced a lot of challenges within our HR systems in this year, as the CEO has already highlighted and the chairperson has already highlighted. ICT strategy, we've developed an ICT strategy that we are hoping to begin implementation in this year. Wellness program, the CEO spoke about our internet content analysts and the examiners. These people are exposed to harmful material on a daily basis, pornography, child pornography, bestiality. So we are really looking to enhance our wellness program to ensure that they are adequately taken care of and debriefed on an ongoing basis. Business continuity management, we've just developed a strategy in this year, and we will begin implementation in the 2009-10 financial year. Implementation of stakeholder relations. We want to focus on strengthening our relations with various stakeholders and forming partnerships to leverage on various platforms, because we've got limited financial resources. So we want to see how we can partner with other organizations to ensure that our work continues and is carried forward. That's about it. The challenges, the CEO has already spoken about the challenges.
Thanks. I'm sorry, somebody's dealing with the budget.
Thank you. Thank you. In terms of the budget, the way we're going to attend the strategy, 39.3 million has been confirmed to be received from Department of Home Affairs. And 624 will be received from Public Works as rental subsidy. And from our internal coffers, we invested to make 9 million from classification of movies, films, and publications. We also invested to make 3 million from registration of new movie distributors and game distributors, and also from our investment through the bank, 1.5 from the investment of the bank. So in total, our budget is 53.4, and we intend to spend the budget as follows. In terms of personal cost, 19.5 million has been budgeted for full-time staff members, of which 4 million will be for the movie examiners, and 600,000 has been budgeted for the staff development, and 976 has been budgeted for permanent incentives. In terms of other operating expenses, we have budgeted 54,000 for the cleaning services, insurance of FTB assets, 324, lease of office space, that includes Cape Town and also a new office that has been just opened in Durban, 1.7, computer equipment that has been leased, 543, IT maintenance, 660, call center management, 395, and advertisement for 50,000 rand. Other operating expenses, repairs and maintenance that normally pertains to the building, that will be 60,000. Travel accommodation international, we have budgeted 800,000. Travel accommodation local, we have budgeted 1.3 to 1.5 for compliance monitoring, traveling all over the country. The stationery, we have budgeted 300,000. Gazetting, 110. Telephone, 800. Stakeholder management and outreach programs, we have budgeted 1 million. In total, the total operating expenses is 11.6. Professional services that FPB gonna get during the financial year, we have budgeted 205 for risk management, 900 for external audit fees, internal audit fees, we have budgeted 600,000, research services, we have budgeted 2.1, employee wellness, 500,000, that will also include taking the examiners to psychiatrists and the likes. Other adversary panel, we have budgeted 100,000, and then for the anti-child pornography, roadshows and awareness, we have budgeted 3.5. Communication and marketing, we have budgeted 6.1. Governance, that includes the review board, oil committee, and board members, we have budgeted 1.2. And then other projects that we have budgeted for the strategic plan is 500,000. The distributors conference that we're going to have later during the year, 150. Membership to UNISA's research unit, 250,000. Invoke membership, 100,000, and ministerial task team, 150,000. In terms of our capital expenditure, we have budgeted 408 for the office equipment, computer equipment, we have budgeted 175, refurbishment of the FTB library, we have budgeted 55,000, and the total capital expenditure is 128 for the financial year. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no further additions from your side,
no.
If not, Kwasi.
Thank you, sir. Chairperson, the FBI has been complaining each and every year about the funds that Treasurers allocated to them as being inadequate. But they are yet to come up with a vibrant plan for extensive drive to mobilize resources from private donors. I imagine, sir, if they are serious about what they are doing, definitely they cannot just fold their arms and wait for donors. I suppose there are lots of international bodies that have a passion for this type of issues that they are dealing with. So I was thinking that maybe they'll show us something that they are also trying their level best to make sure that they mobilize resources to enhance what they are doing. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Comrade Mike.
Yeah, thanks from my side.
It was not yet you.
Oh, sorry.
Somebody else had raised their hand before you this time.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to reflect on the issues that were raised by the slides here with regard to the training and interaction with police and to the prosecutors, ma'am. I think we are seeing progress with regard to that because it's been a thorn in the portfolio committee. One other thing, Chairperson, is with regard to the enactment of the Act. I think through the Office of the Minister, we need to take the issue so that it could be speeded up. If there are maybe problems, then we, you know, try and deal with the problems to make sure that the board is appointed and is in operation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. Now it's your turn, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson, I would like to say that the submission as far as the budget is concerned is plaudible from the board. And I want to concur with the previous speaker in terms of some investments and efforts from the board side. It is also clear that when somebody sees there's growth in some sort of organization, they will really come to the front and assist. I've noted also in terms of the strategic planning budget that there was a good amount of increase as far, because I think the crux of the board lies in the strategic objective of where they are going. In terms of the lease of computer equipment, I would just like from my side to suggest that perhaps in future one would go to try and buy rather this equipment instead of renting it. Experience heavy that you pay a tremendous amount of money in leasing stuff that at the end of the day that will come actually yours. One omission from my side, Chairperson, and on behalf of the committee, I also would like to congratulate the board for having an unqualified report, and I've missed to state that in the previous financial year. And also, as our comrade has said here early on, they're young, they're vibrant, and they must keep up the good work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The issue of Film and Publications Board Act, we'll take that up with the ministry and then find out what are the challenges, why this has not been signed or sent to the president for assent. Obviously, I will have to find out exactly what the status there is. But I'm sure, as we have heard from members of the portfolio committee, they are all keen to assist. And this is why they'll also encourage you to do your best, also where possible. We know it's not always easy, but to seek to find other avenues of seeking redress for yourself. At times, in regard to other government agencies, I know it's also a challenge at times if you are dependent for disbursement from the fiscus for a certain percent of your budget. At times it also comes with limitations as to from whom and how you can raise funds for yourself. So obviously, taking all those prescripts into consideration, we can only help you if you are able to articulate and say this is where the shoe pinches. And then from our side, I believe there's enough goodwill here. There are people who know your history details more. So So all of us working together will do our best to assist in getting the necessary act, laws or regulations passed by the ministry, and then follow up from there. The challenge why you have seen Ms. Mahunye out, she has again gone out to see if she can find two more people to assist us with you. Unfortunately, one of our members had to dash to the airport. Her luggage was lost and what is. So that's understood. She had a compelling reason. This is missing that. But if any one of our colleagues, the members are close by, I would ask you to kindly get one of you people to assist us. Joe?
Even if they are not members.
No, they have to be members. They have to be members.
So they have to be members. Not, but not they have to be members of the committee.
No, no.
It any member.
It can be any member of parliament. Yeah. Not necessarily members of this particular committee.
Yeah, I think that will be easy, Chair. I just want to raise something with the board and check on their assisting us in this regard before we're going to approve this. If it's possible for us to approve it with a provision for the board to go in to the question of the lease of equipment, if we can approve it with a provision that they will see their way through to find out whether they can buy it. Because, I mean, R500,000, we can buy rather the stuff. Because, you know, taking a photostat machine, you'll pay it 110 times over if you rent it, because when they take the copies, amount of copies, etc., etc. And I can tell you, I can reassure you, you can budget rather for buying equipment for 200,000-300,000 rand and the other balance in keep that in abeyance for reparations on that specific equipment. Thank you.
Thanks. I think the point is well taken and well made. It's not something that we have to keep the whole budget in abeyance just because they have to go and meet that. The point is well taken, my dear member. They would also concur with you that in the end it will be better if they own instead of leasing or hiring. I welcome you, sir.
Thank you, sir. He has come to pay us.
Yeah. You say he has come to?
To bail us.
To bail us out. No,
I think there might be others in the corridor.
Yeah, we are just waiting for one or two more to come.
Wednesday.
Yeah. So, thank you. We'll just wait for the members to come back and then we can deal with this. For the future meetings, obviously this is not the most ideal situation to be in. Puts us in that position of the gentleman in the Bible who organized the party. And the invited guests didn't turn up and he had to go to the byways and highways and collect people to come and adorn his festivities. So from my point here, I will seek to impress on the members really attend to the business. I'm not saying that those who have not been here completely are not here without legitimate reason, but I'll always be jealous to have all my members present in our meetings, because our portfolio committee can only be as successful as the effort buy-in that all of us put into it as members. Not the chairperson's portfolio committee. That's the least important function. Person conducts our meetings and orders them. but all of us have to own the responsibility of turning around home affairs. It's quite a daunting challenge, as you all know. With all our agencies here, we have to do our best to assist them. So I'm sure that's well taken by members. Don't doubt that for a second. But for today, unfortunately, this is the situation that we find ourselves in.
Oh, thank you, Sebastian. I fully agree on the sentiments that you just raised. But I think more could be done, probably engaging the party with that it becomes mandatory to all these meetings. Especially, we're meeting now for the second time, but there are those who are not even here the first time, they are not here this time. We are all members of parliament here, and we all have responsibility. Now, there are no junior or senior members of parliament. You know, that approach is not going to help us, that some must be here and some must give excuses. I understand there might be some implications to it, whether they are excuses like the one of Anelimte. But I think more could be done. Yeah, it's just that this is not really setting a good impression, rather, also to people who are attending this, stakeholders and our entities. I don't think it sets a good impression at all.
Yeah. Chair, I just want to respond to the honourable member. You know, I'm one of the smallest parties sitting here. We didn't do that well in the election. I was hoping that the IEC will give us some allocation here. But the logistic problem that we are sitting with people like myself in various committees at the same time, and I have to make a choice. And there's also other some sort of political deployment by our party. So that is the problem that I will face.
Oh, that's for sure.
No, I would just like to say that, as I said, we'll engage our respective groups. And I also accept the bona fides of members. It's not that people will wantonly want to be remiss in carrying out their responsibilities. But we have all these challenges. There are more than 30 portfolio committees. So it's quite a nightmare for smaller parties to be fielding and running around. But at the best of times, we'll endeavor. I can assure you, I'll try my best to get everybody on board, and I'll always be happy to see you, Joe.
Yeah,
when
because,
you are
because
able
of the
to
young
come.
And vibrant.
I must warn you that it's also a code of ethics. I know it's taken in good humor.
I like the note there. I'm married.
I couldn't get anybody from downstairs.
Okay.
All in committees. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's wait for Maggie to come back. If you are able to raise two, my chief, I would greatly appreciate it. Just for them to assist us with what you have. Thank you.
Come to the second floor, room 201.
Yeah.
No, just sit and then you can
The aircon has not been put on.
We're glad to have you. Which one? Okay, I think we're how many committees are you on?
This and Cope.
Mm-hmm. Only two.
Because we asked people to vote for us in London, and they did.
Members, I would just like to remind you, on Thursday, which is tomorrow, we have our other meeting at 2. the circular. Kwasi, good folks. Whoever schooled together, this is the wrong time. Kwasi, can we have your attention, please? We are having a meeting at 2 o'clock for the portfolio committee. The department will be making its presentation. And the printing, government printing works. I would like to thank the members who have come to assist us with the process of seconding the support, expressing support for the strategic plan and budget. May we have a question? No, Kosi. You see, the problem is you're speaking about old school friends and not listening at the time. This is why you are in this position. But I will indulge you. The meeting is tomorrow, Thursday, at 2 p.m., not today. So now, good folks, kindly assist me with somebody who will move and second of the motion.
I second.
Thank you very much. I would like to thank the members who have come in to assist us.
Thank you.
We will return the favor at a future date. I know it will happen. When you need us, you will call upon us. Thank you very much, honorable members. This is what makes you honorable. I would like to thank members, and I would also like to thank the presenters. We have presented us with information here. We recognize the fact that in presenting and preparing reports for Parliament, there's lots of stress that goes with it. Well, we have covered all the material points. Is there something that we leave out? Do we give too much information? Is it too specific? One meeting we say you haven't given enough detail. The next meeting you come, we say you are giving too much detail. So we are human beings. We also appreciate that. But it's only in seeking to assist you in carrying out your function. Ultimately, that's our responsibility here, to assist the agencies in doing their jobs as best as they can, and also to table constructive criticism without fear or favor. That's our responsibility as members of Parliament. So even if you schooled with somebody and the person says that you are not delivering in regard to this, it does not mean that that person does not take into consideration where you come from together. It's just that we love our country more and our responsibility to the citizens of our country more. So it's in that spirit that all of us will always contribute here, irrespective of the political party that you come from. When we are here, we all do our best for the economic citizens of this country, for everybody of this country. So I'd like to thank everybody who has made this meeting possible and constructive. Thank you very much, folks.